स्पाइस रेडियो और रेडियो रिमझिम सुन रहे हैं आप गपशप का प्रोग्राम है। हमारी घड़ी में बुधवार के 2:05 हुआ चाहते हैं। अब से लेकर 3 बजे तक आपका हमारा साथ रहेगा हमारे आज के इस कार्यक्रम में, जिसका नाम बड़े प्यार से हमने गपशप रखा है, क्योंकि इसमें वो सभी बातें जो आज आपकी नजरों में अटकेंगी,
खटकेंगी
और दिल में समाएंगी।
हाँ, रियली
आई सेड इट राइट, राइट?
यू डिड।
ओके, गुड।
बहुत दिनों के बाद आज अनीता ढालाकोटी की आवाज सुन रहे हैं, क्योंकि वो कहीं बाहर से घूम घाम के आई है।
ये तो गलत बात है, आपने बुलाया नहीं हमें।
नहीं नहीं, हमने आपको बुलाया था, लेकिन आप घूमने नहीं गई थी। यू वर लुकिंग आफ्टर योर मदर।
यस
यस
यस, हिप रिप्लेसमेंट।
How did that go?
It went very well for someone her age. And yes? Yeah, it's not even a month. And yeah, she's walking what around. She made me khana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's staying funny with me. She's not allowed to go home. She begged to go home once, yes, one day. I said, okay.
Yeah.
And then I said, it's conditional to you agreeing to have one of those, you know, those people have, yeah, on there, so that if you fall and all.
Yes.
So she said, I don't need that. I'm like,
You do?
Yeah. My brother has convinced her that she has to stay with me as long as I tell her to.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
So she's saying, of course, he's the apple of her eye. And so anything he says is like, oh, my God, you know, he's so sensitive.
Oh.
He's like, I tell her, Mom, you got to stay here. It's safer here. You know, there's all of us here, no effect.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Mom, for Anita, it'll be easier. You know how busy she is, you know, and then at least you're in the house and she doesn't have to come specially to your house. And she found that so sensitive and nice.
Oh, wow.
It's always the sons. Even my mom, she pretends like she doesn't have a favorite, but I know my prodigy of a brother is, she always like opens her arms for a hug and it's never for me. It's always for him. And yesterday she pretended. She like had her arms open. I looked at my brother. I'm like, hey, she's calling you. She wants a hug. He's like, no, she wants it from you. And my mom's like, I never specified. So I go and I give her a hug. She still has her other arm open for him to come into. So funny.
It's that mother son bond no one can break.
I know.
Oh,
so
my
funny.
Oh my. She's doing well and you're,
yes,
doing well too.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So in bachchon ke liye jo ki young hain, उनके लिए आप क्या, थैंक यू सो वेरी मच, क्या सलाह देना चाहती हैं? बिकॉज शी इज इन अ स्पेशल स्पेशल मूड टुडे।
आई डिडंट कम प्रिपेयर्ड फॉर अ बच्चा।
अच्छा, यू डिड नॉट?
आई केम मोर प्रिपेयर्ड फॉर एस्टेट प्लानिंग, बट इनके लिए आई वुड से आपने अपना TFSA खोला?
नो।
ओके,
बस इसको, आई हैव टू लॉक हर अप इन अ रूम।
आई हैव एन अकाउंट बट आई हैवंट पुट एनी मनी इनटू इट। We're in the same place as last time.
You need to call me, my dear.
Okay.
Did you open a FHSA?
No.
You have to do that too.
Okay, I'll call you.
And you can have your parents contribute to that for you.
Perfect. Okay.
First, you know what the FHSA is, right?
No.
First
home
FHSA, first home savings account.
Yeah, okay.
It's like the TFSA, tax-free savings account.
Yeah.
First home savings account.
Okay.
It gives you a tax break. Are you paying taxes?
Little bit of taxes.
Yeah, we can eliminate that too.
Okay.
But TFSA certainly you must have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good. I will definitely do that.
Now that you've got special instructions from a financial advisor.
Yes, and it is up to you to call me. I'm not going to call you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Responsibility begins from within.
It does.
Especially financial responsibility.
It certainly does.
It does.
Now, you said that, you know, she doesn't need to work on her estate planning. She's too young. Can she at that age start working on her estate planning?
No. So there are different stages in life. At any stage in time, you can start working on estate planning or financial planning or tax planning.
Huh.
So Well, when you say estate planning, it is you have to have an estate to leave to somebody, right?
Right.
So, for example, you know, when you have a great job and you're making a lot of money and or you have the ability, and every young person has that ability, right? You don't know what the future holds for you, but you know what you want and,
yes,
how you can achieve that.
Right.
So everything you do from a financial perspective should have these three things in mind. Emergency cash, retirement planning, and estate planning,
mm-hmm,
right? Because, and these are different stages. So if someone my age, we'll look at whatever I say would also have, they'll be looking at retirement planning, but they'll also be looking at if they have parents alive, and have they ever had the conversation with their parents about what their parents are doing for their estate? You know, not to see whether you're going to get an inheritance or anything, but to see if it is tax, if it's maximized in the way where the bulk of your assets go to whoever you want it to go, whether it's your children or a charity or a cause or something. And it's not to say to avoid taxes, but it's just to minimize taxes. Our government gives us many ways to minimize taxes, right?
Yes.
Today, on a daily basis, like mm-hmm. on a, you know, annual basis, and then, you know, during retirement and when you pass away, right?
Right.
So these aspects of financial planning are relevant to anybody. So if I started talking to you about TFSA, it is, you're in the accumulation stage. Accumulating for what? For either an emergency or something you really want to do, maybe your education, you want to go to Germany and study and it requires certain money, or you're going to, you know, you need some medical stuff or whatever, but you're accumulating or you have an emergency or whatever nature, mm-hmm. right? Those are the things that you're going to look at right now. We keep accumulating so that we have something when we have an emergency. Or when we are planning to buy a house, at some point you will want to have your own house, mm-hmm. right? You'll move out of your parents' house. The government allows everybody right now who hasn't got their own house to start saving for it. Because at least in BC, we know the cost of housing is ridiculous, right? So if you don't, previously you were allowed to take out $35,000 from your RRSP. But young people don't have that much in their RRSP. But if they do, now they have 35 from the RRSP and they can take out 40,000 from the first home savings plan.
I see.
So that gives them $75,000 that might pay for a down payment, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you're buying your first house, you can buy it with as little as 10% down payment. And we know that in BC, there's nothing less than $700,000 now, yeah. mm-hmm. right? So they have thought about it and they've come up with this suggestion. So during, you know, there are two stages, as far as I'm concerned, when you're managing money. One is the accumulation stage, you know, from whatever time you start working till the time you're actually going to retire. And when you retire, it's the deaccumulation stage. Now, both these stages, the accumulation and deaccumulation stages, are, you know, you're always guided by taxes. Mm. How do I minimize my taxes? So I can benefit from it.
So you lost her a long time ago.
Did I?
No, you didn't. Yes. I'm paying attention.
No, she, her eyes were all over the place. So the minute you start saying, you know, are you, you know, you have to
put money in a TFSA?
Yes, that was it.
Okay, I have another question. Do you actually have any money that left at the end of every month?
I do, yeah.
And what are you doing with that?
Yeah, what do you do with that money?
I save it.
No, where do you save it?
Where are you saving it?
Yeah.
In my savings account.
What? Oh, my God.
Okay, so, no, that's fine. These days, which savings account?
Interest savings interest? Account? Yeah, GIC.
It's whatever one the bank gave me when I opened
up my
account.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
see?
So you know what? You are actually losing out on a lot of money.
Okay.
Because right now, I could send you a link. For which bank was it that sent me a link? I think it was BMO, I'm not sure. Where they will give you 5.7% for you to leave your money there.
I see.
So these are the little things that make a difference. Mm-hmm. Like if I gave you a $100 gift card today, would you like it?
Yeah, of course I'd like it.
You would. Mm. So you can do that on your own.
I see.
5.7, put your money there. Mm-hmm. Do you have a credit card?
Yes.
Do you ever owe money on it?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, so you know how credit cards give you 20 or 30 days to pay? Mm. Do you pay in full?
Yes.
Good. That's what everybody should do. Credit card debt is the worst one to have. It's like 25%. If you ever get into that rut, you'll never get out of it.
I see.
Unless someone bails you out. Imagine you borrow $1 and they want you to return $1.25.
And then it just accumulates.
Yes. Because if you were borrowing $1 in the first place, it's because you didn't have it. Mm-hmm. How are you going to find 25 cents more, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So bad debt is bad debt. You need to start accumulating money in the most effective manner, right? So start investing. you've got a whole lifetime ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
You put $100 today, don't ask me the calculations, but it becomes an astronomical amount 30 years from now.
Okay.
Just by the power of compounding.
Yeah.
So get into the habit, even if it's like $50 a month. Do you have $50 a month that you save?
Yes.
Okay. You need to invest it.
I see.
Because if you're not investing it, then it's not growing.
Makes sense.
Have a account directly with her. And from your paycheck, the minute you get the money, $50 or $100 goes to...
So it's very simple. You open the account and we can just take money out of your bank with your authorization.
I see.
And if you decide, if you decide that, oh, this month I have to go for a show and it's going to cost me $500 because this is my lifetime, whatever, mm-hmm. and you don't have the money to put in the bank, just give us more than 3 business days notice and we'll stop the pack. Right?
I see.
Otherwise, it's an automatic thing coming out of your account.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even know about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You won't realize it.
Yeah.
So start with a small amount. And then when you see it growing, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
because in the market it can go down. But when you see it growing, you will understand how without doing anything, your money is working for you. Ideal situation in life is that by the time we finish our working life and we retire, all the money that we've accumulated so working so hard actually starts making money for us.
I see.
So that we no longer have to work. It's a very simple concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way to reach that point is essentially, if you're making $10, make sure you don't spend more than $8.50.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story which I never, used it in my own life. I had a guy who worked for us, came here at an older age and had 2 daughters. And so he was working for us. He was working for a couple other people. So every month, he was buying $500 worth of gold.
Okay.
Every month.
Yeah.
And he kept, and he believed in gold. He didn't believe in anything else. He just believed in
Perfect.
Gold.
Yeah.
And just about 7 years ago, he got his first daughter married. And... lavish wedding, didn't have to do anything.
He just sold his gold?
He sold his gold, and his gold accumulated in...
value as well?
Oh, huge value. And this man diligently put that $500, no matter how much gold he could buy with that.
Absolutely.
He did that.
He didn't look at the price of gold. He just said, this is my... it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what an index chart is?
No.
An index chart, if you Google it, will show you many, many lines going from, from the left to the right. And you'll find that it's always on an upward incline.
Yeah.
In between, there are many ups and downs. And, those are the markets going up and down. Market crashing, market going up, spiking. And you will notice that the general direction is up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had invested $10 or $100 in 1950, this would have been a huge amount today. If you did nothing, just let it be in one investment.
Even though it would have gone up and down.
Yes.
It is still, yeah. That's...
But today it would be like over $100,000.
Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the power of compounding and just being in the market invested, it's very important. So do that. Recently, we've had a huge market uptake and then we had a down.
Mm-hmm.
Mutual funds get calculated at the end of every day. It's not as risky as a stock. And most people can't trade in stocks on their own.
Mm-hmm.
This is a steady, investment. And have only one goal in mind. That this money, I'm only going to use in retirement.
Yeah.
So you have a longer time frame. Your risk profile would be higher. You can take more risks. As opposed to someone who's 60 and wants his money at 65 or starts taking out his money at 65, right? So it is, I cannot explain to you how important it is for you to start saving money.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's life lesson today.
Yeah.
We're going to take a very short commercial break. And when we come back, can we talk about the role of segregated funds in estate planning?
Absolutely.
All right, let's just do that. And if you want to ask questions, 604-280-1200, 604-299-8863, our telephone number. Spice Radio और Radio Ramjam सुन रहे हैं आप गपशप का प्रोग्राम है अनीता डालाकोटी आज हमारे साथ हैं और हम segregated funds और estate planning की बात कर रहे हैं. First of all, those who know what segregated funds is, it's okay. they know about it. Those who do not know what segregated funds is, in a nutshell, tell us what segregated funds is aur unka role kya hai estate planning mein aur estate planning kin ke liye zaruri hai.
Okay, so segregated funds, most people don't even know about segregated funds. All they know about segregated funds, oh, it's an insurance product.
Huh.
It's actually a variable annuity product.
Okay.
So what it is, to put it very simply, you know mutual funds?
Mm-hmm.
Segregated funds are mutual funds,
ah,
but they reflect the returns of a mutual fund. So say there's a mutual fund called Global Equity. You may have a segregated fund called Global Equity. So whatever happens in the mutual fund Global Equity is reflected in the segregated fund Global Equity.
Okay.
But the segregated fund is an insurance contract.
Okay.
In reality, the money is not in the market.
No.
Whereas in the mutual fund, the money is actually in the market.
Okay.
So this insurance contract called segregated fund reflects the growth of the mutual fund.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So if it goes up, it goes up. If it goes down, it goes down. But with the segregated fund,
mm,
which is actually an insurance contract, you have benefits.
Mm.
The investment industry and the insurance industry are taxed differently.
Okay. Yes, I know that. Yeah.
So in a segregated fund,
mm,
first of all, it's creditor protected because it is an insurance product.
Ah, okay.
Second, it bypasses probate.
Oh, even better.
Yes, because in BC, do you know what the probate fees are?
Is it 4%?
No, it's 1.4%
oh, okay,
of your estate.
1.4% of your estate, okay.
Right? So yeah, if you die and your estate is worth $1 million.
Oh, it is in millions now. Tu in millions se upar hi baat kar rahe
hain. If it's worth $1 million.
Right.
And all of it is going through probate, you
right
have to pay 1.4%.
Okay, of that.
Of that.
Hmm.
Right? So it is extremely important that everybody understand that a segregated fund actually bypasses probate.
Okay.
Now, if you have a mutual fund, which is an open account, which is not a registered account.
Hmm.
What are the registered accounts? Do you know?
RRSP.
Yes. Not true. Then? RRSP?
RRSP is, and GIC is? No, sorry.
Registered accounts?
Registered account is RRSP or RRESP or something like
yeah
that. Yeah.
TFSA?
Or TFSAs.
And
yeah,
now the FHSA.
Oh, right. First home savings account.
So in a registered account, you can name a beneficiary.
Ah, okay.
But in a non-registered account, you cannot name a beneficiary.
Okay.
Right? So a lot of us have non-registered accounts in addition to our registered accounts.
Okay, what are non-registered accounts though?
Where the government is not giving you any benefit.
Okay.
Right? It's just a regular investment account.
I see what you
so
mean.
So people refer to it as an open account or a non-registered account. So just so that you know, in an RRSP, you can save up to 18% of your income.
I don't have to worry about RRSPs anymore because...
Your listeners do.
Our listeners do. So listeners ke liye achha hai. Agar aap sawal bhi puchna chahte ho, toh bade shauk se puch sakte hai.
Yeah. So in the registered accounts give you some benefit or the other.
Hmm.
Whereas a regular investment account, hmm, it's the market. It's just the market. So we're clear about that.
Hmm.
So when we're in an investment account, an open investment account, non-registered, you can't name a beneficiary. It
right
has to go through probate if you were to pass away.
Acha.
Okay. That means in addition to everything else, taxes and everything, you're going to have to pay a probate fee. And probate can be very long process.
Not only is it an expensive process because you have to pay 1.4%, but it is also a process that will take longer period of time to be decided and in
closed
your favor or
yes
closed, whatever. Ek caller hai hamare line pe, unko le le.
Hanji,
line 4, how are you doing?
Hello, Sushma ji. Good afternoon. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Aapko aa rahi unki awaaz?
Haan, aa rahi hai.
Okay, theek hai. Hanji, good afternoon, ji.
Yes, my question for Anita is, if I don't have a will, but I have named a beneficiary in my RRSP,
yes,
does the money still get to the beneficiary if I pass away?
Yes. In all registered accounts, you can name a beneficiary and the money will go to the beneficiary.
Okay. Only for the RRSP, right? Not for the other accounts like TFSA? Or...
TFSA as well. In TFSA, you can name either a beneficiary or you can name an alternate account holder. right? So usually what happens in TFS is you don't name, if you have a husband or a wife or whatever, you don't name a beneficiary, you just allow them to take it over. So they are the alternative account holder on death.
Sure, thanks. What about the savings and checking account? There's no beneficiary name for those.
No, those are considered open, non-registered accounts. So those will go to probate.
Okay.
So you need to have a will to determine where that money is going to go.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kya marne par bhi karna padta hai?
Yaar, marne pe hi mauka milta hai na CRA ko ki wo आपकी पूरी जिंदगी की छानबीन करें
या
और फिर डिसाइड करें कि कितना टैक्स लेंगे आपसे
जितना भी उनको चाहिए आई गेस
जितना भी आपने अवॉइड किया था
दैट्स राइट दैट्स अनदर वन यस ओके ओके सो तो ये हो गया
सो शी एक्चुअली द कॉलर आस्क्ड अ वेरी रेलेवेंट क्वेश्चन सो दिस इज व्हाई यू नीड टू अंडरस्टैंड नाउ इफ यू हैव अ सेग्रीगेटेड फंड You bypass probate, for one. Remember, probate is not just the probate fee. It's also hiring a lawyer to do it. Most people can't do probate on their own, right? The legal fees also add up. So you're bypassing probate, and you can name a beneficiary.
Right. Okay, so now segregated funds, jo hai, it's like a insurance policy. Mm-hmm. It's an insurance product. Toh uske liye age limit bhi hai kya?
Yes.
Okay. Now that's
wow,
a good question.
That is an amazing question.
Isn't it?
Amazing. I'm impressed, Sushma.
I am. I'm here in the studio today.
Exactly. It does have. Now, it used to be more restrictive, but now you can open a product, right, in some companies up to the age of 90.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So,
how come you didn't come to me about this?
Well, we can take this matter off the air and discuss it.
Right.
So, yes. So, not only does it bypass probate, you can name a beneficiary.
Right.
And it is a very private process.
Ah.
Nobody knows. Like in insurance products, when you have a will, remember a will is a public document.
Right.
When it goes through probate, I can see your will.
Yes.
And see who you left
yes.
everything to.
Yes. And
right?
Phir maramari ho sakti hai us time pe.
Haan, maramari to ho hi sakti hai.
Right.
If a will is deemed to be unequal or unfair.
Unfair, yeah.
Then people around you who are related to you or had expectations of your money and they didn't get it, they can contest the will.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So a will, that's why it's important when you make a will also that it is deemed to be fair.
Okay.
Right? In today's...
And today's day and age, what fair is what the government thinks fair is.
No, that's not true. That's not true. It is because we live in a world of multi-families now. There are people who have had... Wife, divorce, second wife, divorce, third wife, children from the first wife, maybe no children from the second, children from the third, who knows, right? So you are supposed to, I mean, even though it's your money, your hard-earned money, you're supposed to be fair to all the beneficiaries who are related to you.
Hmm.
Because if you're not, then one of them can always contest a will.
Okay. Hold your thought.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take a very short commercial break and come back and talk about this. So please stay with me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a short break and we'll be right back. Spice Radio, Radio Room Jhum Sun Rahe Hum, Gup Shup Ka Program Hai. Anita Dalakhoti Aaj Humare Saath Hai. And there's a caller on the line, Jo Aap Se Koi Sawal Puchna Chahte Hai. Line 4, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, is that me?
Yes, it's you.
Oh, okay. I have a question for Anita. Thank you for taking my question.
Yes.
No problem.
The question is... regarding a will,
yes.
If all the named beneficiaries are not all the children, and there's a very fair reason for that, is there any legal document or anything that I need to protect the child that is the named beneficiary?
Yes. So you see, what happens is in such situations, because at the end of the day, it is your will, it's your money and your estate, you do have the right to determine as long as you can justify it. So usually within the will itself, you can say there's the reason I'm giving this person this much is this, this, this. Or you can give, you can have an addendum to the will that explains your decision so that if ever any of your other kids actually contest the will, the judge has some context. Because when you're gone, anybody can say anything about this person who you're leaving the will to, the child, you know, whoever you're leaving a portion of it to. But if the judge has context, context, they are not going to override your wishes at all.
So they will, they will honor your wishes.
They will honor your wishes as long as it makes sense. It's not, oh well, you know, it's not something vengeful, or it's not something. If there is a reason for it, absolutely. There is no judge, I think, on earth that would override, unless there's something compelling that your other kids can say, you know, regarding this person who you're leaving some of your estate to.
So let me give you an example, caller. There was a recent case about 4 or 5 years ago. Husband and wife both passed away, and in their will, they had 6 children, 4 daughters and 2 sons.
Mm.
And they left all their money, $14 million, to their sons.
Oh, that's very unfair.
So the daughters contested that. And this is from our own community, okay? Because in our own community, parents just do not think about their daughters. They only think about their sons. So the daughters then challenged the will. And the judge looked at the whole thing. There was no reason why the money was being given to the boys and not the girls. Although the girls are the only ones who worked in the farm. Mm-hmm. Boys, there's only one boy who worked in the farm, but the other one didn't even want to be near a farm. And he got $7 million. So the judge then distributed the money.
Equally?
Not equally.
Oh.
He still gave the boys more money, but each daughter got over $1 million.
Right. Yeah, but that was an unfair decision.
It was. Like it was still unfair, but, you know, the judge felt that at least they were getting only $200,000 each.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my question is that, do I need to do anything besides an addendum for this reason for the decision? Is there any legal document or anything else I need to do?
No, I don't think there's a legal document, but, you know, this is, again, unsolicited advice that I will give you, you know, people don't like talking about their wills, okay? Mm-hmm. But if everybody knows beforehand that this is what is going to happen, it's a moot point. They don't have a reason to contest it, right?
Okay.
But I know in certain circumstances that could be difficult to do because you don't want to alienate a child or, you know, but if people can understand, you know, at the end of the day, I have a very different view on wills and leaving stuff to people. Nobody has a right to any of your money. It's your money.
Exactly.
It's your hard-earned money. And if a particular child has misbehaved or has shown signs of not being able to handle money or has shown signs of whatever it is that you have felt during your lifetime that has led you to make this decision, you should just express it so that, you know, you can also express the fact that you're writing these explanations in the event that anybody contests this will. These are your last wishes. I doubt anybody would then be able to actually success. They can still contest the will, so be it. But they may not be. They most likely will not be successful, unless, of course, your logic itself is very unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, for example,
I won't do it if it wasn't unfair, but.
Yeah, you know, like, for example, leaving everything to your sons and nothing to your daughters, like, why? Right? Doesn't make sense. You could always say, oh, I spent money on my daughter's wedding, which was, like, extravagant, and I didn't do anything for my sons or something like that. Or, you know, I've lived for free in my son's house, and so he gets more money. Those are all very logical decisions.
Yeah, I'm just seeking some advice so I know to go the right way.
Yeah. My advice would be, if possible, let everybody know even beforehand. If not, which is perfectly fine, document why you're writing this. Because if you fear anyone contesting the will, these are your logical reasons and they're very important to you. Simple.
Great. Thank you so much, Anita.
You're welcome.
Thank you, G. 604-280-1200, 604-299-8863, hamare telephone number hai.
Haan ji.
Another very good question.
Yes. So I wanted to specify that, you know, towards the end of your, you know, it depends what stage you are in, right?
That's right.
So what is the difference between a segregated fund and mutual fund? Other than the benefits of the segregated fund, one disadvantage is that it is generally more expensive in its fees. The MER of a mutual fund is more expensive because you're getting these benefits.
I see.
Right? So it used to be up to like a whole percentage more. Mm. But for the benefits you're receiving, that percentage
is well worth it. Yes.
If what you're trying to do is protect it from a creditor, which an open account is not. If I have an open account and I owe somebody money and they come after me, they can go after my open account. Whereas in a segregated fund, they cannot, right? So you're protecting yourself from a creditor. You want privacy. Now, you have, you have a friend you want to give some money to, or your brother, and maybe the brother is not in good terms with the rest of your family, but you want to give him. He's your brother, right? So you can create a seg fund and make him the irrevocable beneficiary, irrevocable, that nobody can change it, and he will get the money without anybody knowing anything.
That's another advantage. So that's privacy.
That, yeah. That is privacy. So quite often people use segregated funds to, so say, you know,
you give a gift to somebody.
To give a gift to somebody that you don't want changed.
Yeah.
That it has to go. So it, because it bypasses probate, this can never come in a court of law. It can never be challenged.
Beautiful.
Right? Mm. So, and then you can tailor. It gives you the ability to tailor your estate. Mm. There's certain things it's easy to say, okay, like for example, you said a farm, right? One son did not even work in a farm. Mm. How do you reward the son who worked in the farm? How do you reward the daughters who worked in the farm? Mm. And so you can say, okay, I want to be very fair, but the farm, this kid is not interested in the farm at all. So we don't divide the assets of the farm to him because even if he gets 1 acre of the farm, he's not going to do anything with it. It's a disadvantage to him.
Yeah.
So let me leave him some money and remove him from the farm. So if the farm had six units and each unit was like, say it was only a farm and it was $14 million, right? $14 million divided by six children. Mm. What he can do is he can, the proceeds of the farm, he can distribute to the five kids.
Mm.
And that one kid who's not interested in the farm, he can open a seg fund, put the money in there. And when he passes away, it goes there.
The money.
No problems.
Yeah.
So not only do the people who actually worked at the farm and the business is the same. There are quite a few cases where, you know, one kid will take over the family business.
That's
because
right.
they've been acting, they've been in it forever and ever.
Yep.
And it's their life. And it's not fair because the growth in that business has been because of them.
Hmm.
So their expectations are different and higher.
Hmm.
And you can, so you can use a seg fund in these different ways to help, you know, create an estate veg. You know what, like a veg?
Right. So when you're talking about segregated funds, is it on your life that there is a policy?
Yes. Because, see, while it is a mutual fund, so say you put in $100,000 into it, it's following the market, the mutual fund market, right, up and down.
Mm.
But it is an insurance product.
Ah.
So it is on the life of one person.
Ah, okay.
So when that person passes away.
Right.
Now, yeah, there are other ways to change ownership. And
right.
Like I said, you can have an irrevocable beneficiary.
Right.
So you can also have 2-3 owners. I can have myself as an owner initially, but if I die, right, and I can have myself as an annuitant, but if I die, I can have another owner come in and the policy continues with another annuitant, of course, right? So, or you can have, there are many combinations you can have.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is actually quite interesting.
Mm.
And very few people know about the benefits of a segregated fund.
How come it's not, is it not advertised
I think,
a product?
No, I think this is where the industry, like, you know, if I don't talk about it and I'm predominantly a mutual fund investor, right? And people are very rate sensitive. You know how you see these ads? Oh, I keep seeing this ad that comes up. Well, the person is doing his own Quest trade, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the advisor is going to get, you know, the MERs are 2%. Like, hello, the MER means management expense ratio.
Right.
So in a mutual fund, when someone is handling $40 billion, if you were worth $40 billion, wouldn't you have the fees for a lawyer, an accountant to file your taxes?
Of course.
So that fee has to be distributed. To the purchases of that fund. And across the board now, the regulatory authorities have become very clear. You know, that makes it look like, you know, some of us get more money from one company, so we direct our investments there. That's not true anymore, right? Everybody, if it's a regular account, gets their dealer gets 1%, and then the advisor has a relationship with the dealer where they split it in different ways, right?
Right.
So the net result that people should be focusing on in their investments is what do they get in their hands after all fees and taxes?
Mm.
So do I want to open a mutual, a segregated fund now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe if I want to create an estate veg that I want to create, you know, definitely goes to somebody and bypasses the probate. Yes, it's worth it.
Right.
That extra percentage in MERs is worth it. Because also, remember, I won't be paying any legal fees to get this money to that person. I won't be paying any probate fees.
That's right.
And what happens during my lifetime if I have a creditor and I default, if I go bankrupt, nobody can take this money.
Right.
Right? Whereas if it was in a regular mutual fund, they could come after it.
Shall we take a short commercial break and talk a little bit about what the Trudeau government has passed as far as the tax is concerned?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's interesting, but, you know, I mean, we won't be able to delve into it, but a little bit at least. If you want to ask Anita a question, 604-280-1200, 604-299-8863, our telephone numbers. Spice Radio or Radio Rim Jim Sun Rhea, Gup Shup Ka program hai. Anita, you've got a caller on the line.
Sure.
Unko pehle le le, and then if you have any time left, then we'll talk about the taxes.
Okay.
Line 4, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to ask, if my father has his house,
yes,
and I know he's going to be giving that to me in his will,
yes,
would it be best to be joint owners from now, or just wait until he passes?
Oh, no. If this is his primary residence, there is no taxes. So joint ownership, if I were your father's advisor, I would advise against it, right? Joint ownership leads to issues that could be good or bad for you too in many ways because you know, I might don't know your marital status or if there is a marital breakdown for some reason and you're a joint owner of these assets with your father, you know, something happens during your lifetime, during his lifetime, your partner, or, you know, can basically take half of what your ownership in that house is. Now there is a third party who you're already estranged from, now owning that house, right? That's one aspect. The other aspect is because this is his primary residence, there is absolutely no taxes. So it'll just roll over to you anyway. You would be the beneficiary in the will.
And then there would be a probate period in that case?
I think your primary residence would... that's a good question. I need to verify that. But I don't think it'll... I think it would bypass probate. But I can't be certain of that. I have to check that out.
No.
Okay. Okay, no, that's good information. Thank you.
Thank you so much for asking. 604-280-1200, 604-299-8863. So a huge... budget was announced today. You know, Anita, I don't think we can delve into it right now because he's talking about billions of dollars, like $6.1 billion Canada Disability Benefit for low-income earners and disabilities, $1.5 billion new National PharmaCare Plan. Okay, mm-hmm. That's what he's spending. $2 billion, we're not talking about 100 million, 200 million. We're talking about billions. National School Food Program to feed 400,000 more children. The children are already being fed, but 400 more thousand bachche jo aa rahe hain, unke liye khane ka bandobast kiya ja raha hai. And $1 billion low-cost loans to build more childcare spaces. So, all in all, small businesses ke liye bhi research opportunities hai. For example, $2 billion over 5 years, to about $400 million per year, to launch a new AI Compute Access Fund and Canadian AI Sovereign Compute Strategy. Apni strategy ho, AI ka ho, you know, hum kare. Yeah, arrive can ki tarah kisi aur karna de de.
Achha.
And so on and so forth. So, yeah, I think we will do a special program on this on another day because this is a detailed
This is it's just clever. Come out, right?
It's just come. Just yeah, about
there'll
half
be
an
lots
ago.
Of pundits which will have their opinion on it,
right?
And one can, you know,
yeah,
look at that.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at the transfer of principal residence. There's a lot to read here for the previous
caller's question.
There's no, I can't see a direct response to it, but I think this is something you should ask your accountant,
right?
In terms of does it bypass probate or no, or even your wills lawyer, wills and estate. Because here what I'm looking at is that there's several different categories of when you're transferring your principal residence, how much land it has, because it could be different situations. It's not as simple as I own a place here and does it have. And I honestly, I should probably have known the answer, but I don't. So I will research into it and I'll get you back an answer the next time.
Good. That's fantastic. So a final question on, you know, a role of segregated funds in estate planning. So segregated funds ke zariye you are able to streamline whatever
you can. It's you know why they call it a estate veg is that you can, this gives you certainty in that little veg, like a cake you have, you take out this portion,
right?
And you can have several different veggies for different people,
right?
And so it has tremendous estate planning advantages. The other option, you know, when you want to do these things is to create a trust. But creating a trust becomes expensive.
Yes.
And so this allows you in a simple estate, not even a simple estate, even a complicated estate, this has a tremendous role in it. And at the same time, your money is still making money, right? It's just making, it's invested. So if your advisor knows what they're doing and, you know, the returns these days are pretty good, you can see a steady growth on that assets. You see, another way of doing things is, you know, people also create annuities. A segregated fund is like a variable annuity. Normally, annuities are mostly two kinds. One is term certain.
Yes.
And one is a lifetime annuity.
Right.
Right. So a lot of grandparents do this. They do a lifetime annuity for their grandchildren, for example.
That's right.
You have a 10-year-old child and you want that child, you know, you want to remember that child, to remember you well past you, you know, your lifetime.
That's right.
So you take $100,000 or whatever and you say, okay, every year on the birthday of my grandchild, they should get a gift.
Right.
So if these days the interest rates are high, right? This is the best time to create an annuity, an insurance annuity. So you give this $100,000 to the insurance company and they will tell you based on the age of the child how much money they can give you for certain, come hail or whatever.
Yeah.
That kid every year will get this much money.
Oh, wow.
You can choose the date. So every year, I've it's happened with some of my clients. You know, their grandkids every year on their birthday get like $500.
Yes.
And it'll continue for the rest of that child's life, no matter what.
I think my mother did that with her 5 grandkids.
Oh, okay, she did. Oh, that's cool.
And there was an option because it was at one of the banks she did it. And the day the child was born or you know, in the case of the youngest ones, she had opened an account on that particular day on their name.
Yeah, no, annuities can't be done by banks.
And they cannot be done by banks.
Only insurance companies can do it.
So, but she had a product in which every month some money would go into that account.
Yeah.
And at the age of 18, that account was the child's account.
In trust for. She opened an in-trust for account for children. So when you open an in-trust for account, because kids cannot open these accounts, right? So you open an in-trust for account and as soon as the child turns 18, it becomes theirs.
Wow.
And it's and you know, you can contribute
all
as much
as you want. All the grandkids were just rolling in the dough.
When they turned 18.
Yes,
eh?
Yes.
And a nice time to get a gift, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I said. Insurance plays a huge role in estate planning. Right? People don't understand how big a role because like life insurance policies, the death benefit of a life insurance policy is tax-free, right?
Yeah, it is.
So when you start doing estate planning and you are actually looking at your estate, you can, someone like me can easily calculate approximately how much your estate tax is going to be, your terminal tax return. We don't call it estate tax, but the terminal tax return. And usually if you buy an insurance policy at the appropriate time, depending also on the size of your estate, so say you buy an insurance policy for $500,000.
Right.
You will get your beneficiary will get, or your estate will get the $500,000 completely tax-free. Mm. But during your lifetime, you may have only paid $100,000 into it.
Mm.
So not only has it grown that much, when it comes out tax-free, the real value of that money, if you had a if you had to dispose a taxable estate,
right,
would be $1 million.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Because if you say, I don't believe in insurance.
Right.
Okay? I'm so rich and I'll just sell one of the houses. That house will have to be worth $1 million.
Right.
For you to be able to take out $500,000.
Isn't that interesting?
It is. So, you know, people need to understand that insurance products are used for two things. One is estate planning and the other is to mitigate risk.
Right.
When you're using a product to mitigate risk, then the policy, the product basically is much cheaper. For example, a term life insurance.
Hmm.
I encourage every young person to go get a term life insurance. You can get $1 million of insurance for $20 a month.
Hmm.
For the next 30 years, it won't change. Maybe not 20, maybe $25 a month, right? And for the next 30 years, it won't change. After 30 years, of course, it's going to be so expensive, you're going to dump it, right? And you can dump it without any loss to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But during these 30 years, like imagine right now, if anyone buys a house or an apartment, your loan from the bank itself could be $700,000-$800,000.
Yes.
That's a huge debt.
It is a debt. Yes.
Right? So this term life policy will help remove that debt in the event of your untimely death.
As always, a lot of information, and I have now realized that I retain quite a bit of that information when you teach.
Yes, you asked that very valuable question about, is there since it's an insurance product, is there any? I forgot about it. I'm very impressed.
Thank you so much, Ms. Dalakoti. With that, we come to the end of our show. If people wanted to talk to you, could you give your telephone number out, please?
Absolutely. It's 778
778-998-998-8324. 8324.
If I don't answer, just text me with your name, please, so that I don't think it's a spam.
Right.
These days we get so many spams.
That's true. Like,
yeah. And you can just refer that I heard you on Shishma's radio.
Sure. On Spice Radio.
On Spice Radio. That's Shishma's radio.
People still call it Shishma's radio. Achcha ji, isi ke saath, stay tuned for the Drive Home Grind with DJ Flight and Maya right here on Spice Radio and your requests with Nutan on Radio Rim Jim. Tomorrow, we'll have Dr. Mini Randhawa in the studio.
My friend.
Your friend.
Actually, now I must say she's my friend because every time she looks at me, she says, you keep going younger. So I like her more and more now.
Great. So she's going to be here tomorrow and ask as many questions as you want to. Take care.